I strongly believe in the 21st century that you should not attack another country like the Russians have done with Ukraine. It's kind of crazy to do that. It's a playbook of the 19th century or the 20th century. We don't do this in grown-up democracies anymore in the 21st century. So that's one, but also because there are values at stake, democracy. And democracy is a central mandate, is not only free vote. Democracy is also you, the free media, that you can report, that you can try to find out what happened behind the scenes, politicians not always liking what you find. But if it is fair, hey, it's your role and your job to do that. It's part of democracy.
A little birdie told me this, about the fact that we'll give them the right to make patriots. We'll show them how to do it. It's very complex, actually, but it's you'll figure out the complexity quickly. And we're talking about that, and we'll, the company that makes them, which is building now 4 plants, you know, all of our companies, will be able to do this in 2 to 3 months if you order a Patriot. Now you have to wait a long time for them. Same thing with Tomahawks. We have a lot of certain equipment, but with they call it the elite equipment, and you don't need elite equipment necessarily for a war. But so one of the things we're going to be talking about is you'll we're going to give a license to you to make Patriots. That's pretty cool, right? This way you can't complain that we're not giving them enough. I say, make them yourself. We haven't informed the company of that yet, but that'll work out all right. Sure, they'll be thrilled.
This is my video update on this Wednesday afternoon, July the 8th, coming to you from Limassol, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the World Cup and the VAR system. The virtual referees, or whatever VAR stands for. Virtual assistant referees? I don't know. All I know is that VAR is really sucking it. I'm telling you, I'm not a fan of the whole VAR system. Let's just go back to the human referees with all of their flaws and whatnot. Anyway, let's talk about the big news story, which has to be the conflict between the United States and Iran, the ceasefire that has indeed collapsed. The MOU, the Memorandum of Understanding, which I think is safe to say is now over, or very close to being over. So we had Iran hitting 3 oil tankers the other day, oil tankers that were trying to get through the Strait of Hormuz using the southern route, the route close to Oman, also referred to as the Oman route. And Iran did not like it. And so they hit these tankers. And yesterday you had the United States launching a very big strike into Iran. More than the warning, I guess you could say, the warning strikes of the past, say, 3 or 4 weeks, where the United States would target radar systems or stuff like that along the coast of Hormuz. This time they went further into Iran with their strikes, very big strikes from the United States. And then you had the Iran military launching strikes into the Gulf countries, mostly focused on Bahrain, but also sending drones into Kuwait. Also very large attacks from Iran. And Trump at the NATO meeting saying that the whole MOU ceasefire thing is finito. It is done. That is what Trump said. He was calling the Iranians crazy. He's tired of trying to work with them, he said. And I believe he even used the word scum. One second. Trump, MOU with Iran is over. He said that he does not want to deal with the Iranians anymore, called them scum. He did indeed use those words.
Do you have any questions?
Mr. President, is the ceasefire over? Is the ceasefire done? Is the MOU dead?
It's a very interesting question. To me, I think it's over. I don't want to deal with them anymore. They're scum. You know what scum is? They're scum. They're sick people. They're led by sick people. And they're vicious, violent people.
The price of oil is already rising. There is talk of a closing of the Strait of Hormuz. And there you have it. Back to the conflict. Or very close to going back to the conflict between the United States and Iran. I don't even think we made it to 30 days of the 60 days ceasefire. Did we make it to 30 days? Maybe we go back. Maybe they find a way to de-escalate and go back to trying to work through the 14 points of the MOU. But the whole agreement is falling apart, and it's falling apart fairly quickly. So Trump was very, very upset at the NATO meeting. And you could tell that the Europeans and the NATO CEO, Mark Rutte, very, very upset about the fact that the United States is not going to be focusing during this NATO summit on Project Ukraine, and everything became about the end of the MOU and the restarting of the conflict between the United States and Iran, the possible shutting down of the Strait of Hormuz. CEO Rutte and the globalist EU cool kids were hoping that all of that was behind them and that they could focus on money and weapons for Project Ukraine and escalating with Russia. Nope. We are back to Iran, at least for the Trump administration. That is where the focus is going to be on going forward. Zelensky must be pulling out his hair, right? He was thinking that that this NATO summit was going to be all about Project Ukraine. All about trying to get the collective West, the United States, to hand over more weapons, especially Patriot interceptors. And now it's going to be about Patriot interceptors and weapons being conserved or utilized by the United States for a rematch with Iran. Zelensky has a Patriots missile problem, and he was hoping it was going to get solved at the NATO summit. The United States used up to 3,000 Patriot interceptors in the conflict with Iran. And if that starts up again, and Iran starts launching drones and missiles, striking at U.S. air bases in the region, they're going to need Patriot interceptor missiles. Patriot interceptors that will not go to Project Ukraine and will continue to leave Ukraine, especially the capital city of Kiev, exposed. So very, very bad news for Le Gobelin Vert. Very bad news. And then we got the statement from the Netherlands, where the defense, I believe she is the defense minister of the Netherlands, told Bloomberg that they are tapping out. They have no weapons to hand over to Project Ukraine. They're all done. The Netherlands said that they handed over F-16s and all the weapons they could find to hand over to Project Ukraine, whatever they had. They gave it up to Le Gobelin Vert, and they are tapping out. Netherlands has maxed out its military support for Ukraine. We don't have opportunities anymore as the Netherlands because we have done so much. Yesil Goz Zagarius told Bloomberg on the sidelines of the NATO summit in Ankara, Turkey on Tuesday. "We are at our limit," she added, when asked specifically about whether the Netherlands could provide more U.S.-made Patriot missiles to Kiev. You know who else is tapping out? Bulgaria. Bulgaria also announced that they have no more weapons to hand over to Le Gobelin Vert. And something tells me that Czechia, the Czech Republic, is also going to tap out. Babic was already putting out statements along the lines of we need to negotiate with Russia and we don't have any money to allocate to Project Ukraine. So all kinds of countries, EU countries, are saying that they have no more to give. Poland is embroiled in their own Patriot, the secret Patriot scandal to Project Ukraine. So they're not going to be able to hand over any Patriots to Ukraine anytime soon. This NATO summit is turning into a big-time disaster for Le Gobelin Vert. For Erdogan, he got some pretty good news from Trump. Trump told him that sanctions are going to be removed for Turkey. And Trump also said that he will reinstate Turkey into the F-35 program. Though I have to say, Trump, as he was telling all of this to Erdogan was very happy, very excited. You can hear the cicadas. But Trump, I don't know, he didn't seem too confident in his statements. I got the sense that he was telling Erdogan what he wanted to hear, but when he goes back to Washington, he's going to have a difficult time removing sanctions from Turkey and reinstating them into the F-35 program. The reports are that Netanyahu is furious about this. He is not happy with this news about Turkey. There's some sort of an argument, a fight that is brewing between Israel and Turkey, but I don't buy it. I don't buy it for one second. Israel and Turkey, they work together along with the United States to carve up Syria. I don't buy this fight between Turkey and Israel. I think that behind the scenes, they're on good terms. That's just my sense of things. And they definitely coordinated and worked together very well to remove Assad, to get the coup in Damascus, and then to orchestrate al-Shara al-Jalani as the presidente. And then they carved up Syria as well. And they both manage al-Jalani. Both countries are managing al-Shara al-Jalani quite effectively. So anyway, that is the news that Erdogan got. But I think Trump's going to have a hard time making this happen. They have the whole F-35 thing because out of the program because of Turkey's purchase of the S-400s, and the United States did not like that. So we have Ukraine launching attacks at oil tankers. That happened yesterday. Now we are getting different stories with regards to these attacks, drone attacks on Shadow Fleet oil tankers. This happened close to Rostov at Taganrog Bay. The governor of Rostov, he is saying that two Shadow Fleet tankers were hit by drones. Yeah, he's saying two Shadow Fleet tankers were hit by these Ukrainian drones in this bay. It's actually in the Sea of Azov where all of this went down. Black Sea, Sea of Azov. And then you have all of these Shadow Fleet tankers close to this port. There was no oil in these tankers, at least that's what the reports are saying. So there were no oil spills or anything like that. But from the Russian side of things, two tankers. From the Ukrainian side of things, the Ukraine military is saying that they smashed eight tankers. I've read other reports from pro-Ukraine channels which say that they were actually attacking around 21 Shadow Fleet tankers, like a very big operation for the Ukraine military going after all of these tankers with these drones. 21 tankers that they were targeting, and they smashed up eight of those tankers. Those are the two different sides to this this story. But look, Russian Shadow Fleet tankers are Shadow Fleet tankers. We don't know what flag they were under, but the tankers that were close to Rostov in the Sea of Azov, and Ukraine drones targeting these tankers, targeting Russia's energy supply, energy security, going after Russia's energy security, very, very close to Russian shores. What is going to be Russia's response? What is Putin going to do? We'll wait and see. We will wait and see what the response is going to be. Russia hit a Flamingo components manufacturing facility and warehouse on the outskirts of Kiev yesterday. A big strike from the Russian military demolishing this Flamingo manufacturing facility and storage facility. It was actually a facility with cooperation with Samsung. Do I have this right? Like the Ukraine Samsung facility, which was manufacturing Flamingo components. I guess it was a Samsung warehouse and disguised as a Samsung warehouse, but it was actually manufacturing and storing Flamingos. I guess that's what happened. But a big hit for the Russian military. The Ukraine military has not confirmed this. They have confirmed that there were big explosions and a big strike in Kiev yesterday, but they did not say what was hit. The Russian Ministry of Defense, they have come out with a statement and said that they hit this Flamingo facility and warehouse. Peskov gave an interview to the Swiss publication Die Welt Watch. I know I'm pronouncing that wrong. But Peskov said that Le Gobelin Vert could end the conflict in a single day if he would remove Ukrainian troops, withdraw the troops from Donbass. The Ukrainian leader must recognize the de facto situation as a de jure, Peskov said, adding that once this happens, the next day the war will be over. It's never going to happen. Peskov knows this. Everyone knows this. But he threw that out there. And then Peskov said once again that this is not really an SMO anymore, special military operation. This is quickly moving into a war, a bigger conflict with Europe, the EU, the UK, very much involved in this bigger conflict, which signals that the Russian president may upgrade the SMO to something more. Will he declare war? I don't think so, but will the SMO be upgraded to a terrorist operation or something like that? Very possible for Peskov to be talking like this for the second day in a row. It's got to mean something. I'm looking at a bug. It looks like a cockroach. I've never seen a cockroach or whatever that is. I don't know if it's trying to go into the water or to get away from the water. Anyway, we'll leave him be. So that was Peskov talking to the Swiss media. And we had some big news yesterday coming out of the UK, as well as coming out of France. We had Farage resigning his seat in Parliament. What's the area that Farage was representing? Clacton? Was that Farage's seat? Anyway, he had to resign. We talked about this on the Duran. We did a dedicated video with Alexander explaining what happened. So definitely check that out. But long story short, Farage got some gifts, and that's what they've been called, gifts, not services rendered or anything like that. Large sums of money, £5 million and stuff like that, amounts like that, before he became an MP. And not all the gifts, but many of the gifts he did not disclose, and now he's embroiled in a bit of a scandal. And so what Farage did was that he resigned from his seat in Parliament, calling an election. So we're going to have a by-election, I guess, in his region, in his area. He has not resigned as the head of reform or anything like that. He's not out of politics, but he's basically taking it to the people. He will stand again for Parliament, but we're going to have an election, and the people of the UK are going to decide. Did Farage screw up? Is this indeed a scandal, or is this the Conservatives and the Labour parties working together to take Farage down, to take reform down? Probably a little of both. No doubt about it that Labour and the Conservatives, the timing of all of this, as Andy Burnham is about to take over for 008 Keir Starmer, no doubt that they had a hand to play in this controversy, in this scandal. And they timed it just right. So anyway, that is Farage. That's the big news out of the UK. And we have the news about Le Pen. She was found guilty by a French court. Now, the charges against Le Pen were that she misused EU funds that were supposed to be used for the EU, for EU purposes, and she took those funds and used them for domestic party reasons, party purposes, which you're not allowed to do. But everyone does it, right? Everybody is doing these things. But of course, they targeted Le Pen because they wanted her out of the way. She was found guilty, but she will be allowed to run for president in 2027. Yep, there will be no everything suspended. house arrest and stuff like that. And she'll be wearing an ankle bracelet, but she will be allowed to run for the presidency of France in 2027 with an ankle bracelet, which would make her very, very cool if she plays it right. Just like Trump did, right? With the whole wanted poster and all of that. And it helped Trump out. If Le Pen plays her cards right, maybe this will help her campaign out. We will see. But that's big news out of France. Found guilty, but victorious. That's Marine Le Pen. She will be running in 2027. I believe she has already announced that she will run in 2027. Ankle bracelet and all. So that is the big news out of France. And we have some big news out of the Olympic Committee, the International Olympic Committee, the IOC, which ruled that they will be lifting the suspension of the Russian Olympic Committee. So by removing the suspension of the ROC, the Russian athletes will now be able to participate in various competitions, depending on the decisions of the federations, like the international federations that run whatever competitions. My understanding is that they will now decide about athletes participating in various events with flag, with anthem, all of that stuff. It gets pushed on to the federations. At least that's my understanding of this ruling. But it's big news, positive news for Russian athletics. They are one step closer to participating fully in all of the international Olympic competitions. Good news, right? Or maybe not good news. It's good news. It's good news. Not a fan of the Olympics anymore, but okay. It's good news. Even though they've become incredibly politicized. So that is the ruling from the IOC. We can do some clown worlds and wrap things up for today. Here in Limassol. And what's our first clown world? Not so much a clown world, but one second. Everyone. A lot of people are talking about the chat control, the fast track of the EU chat control. The EU Parliament rejected mass scanning of private messages in March. Yesterday, it approved an urgent procedure to revive the measure, setting up a decisive vote on Thursday, the last sitting day before summer recess. At second reading, the text passes automatically unless 361 MEPs vote against it, and some MEPs have already left for the summer break. This is what I said yesterday about chat control, the EU scanning and reading everyone's messages, encrypted or not encrypted, WhatsApp, Signal, whatever it is, the EU and Van der Caesar will have access to everyone's text messages, everyone in Europe, in the EU. So they're trying to fast track this through the Parliament right before summer recess.
Unfortunately, you as the president did not abide by the rules and you asked the council to revive chat control 1.0 when the plenary voted to reject it. You should have asked the commission to withdraw it in accordance with the rule 60.2. We now have to vote again on an urgent procedure initiated by your group that is ready to give in to this farce. Colleagues, stand your ground. Vote the procedure down and vote chat control down again. Thank you.
Van der Caesar, let's see those text messages with Pfizer. Nope, can't see those. Let me take a look at everybody's private text messages on all the messaging apps. Okay, we could see all of those, but my text messages as I was negotiating COOF contracts Don't know where those went. Can't see those. Won't share those. Those are probably lost. Incredible. So Rutte was really kissing up to Daddy Trump yesterday at the NATO summit, and today at the NATO summit. We're talking some professional kissing up to Trump. Trump liked it. He liked it a lot more. Kiss up to me more, Rutte. Come on, I like it. I like it. Trump, you're the greatest. You're the smartest. You're the best. You've saved NATO. You've saved the world. Yeah, that was pretty much what was going on yesterday in Ankara. Rutte said, I just like the man. I think what he is doing for NATO is great news because, yes, there is a Russian threat. There is Ukraine. So we had to step up in Europe anyway, but he was what was necessary to bring the extra impetus to the debate to really get all these nations from 2% and now to agree to 5%. Then Rutte went on to compare Trump to Eisenhower. He said, you could argue that Trump is the third POTUS since Eisenhower, who has been able to bring about a situation where the Europeans and the Canadians spend the same as the Americans. Rutte was very excited at the prospects of a Project Ukraine NATO summit. Now he is very deflated. You can tell he's very deflated from the videos that are coming out of Ankara today, because it's no longer about Project Ukraine. It is now all about the restarting of the conflict with Iran. So anyway, that was Rutte kissing up to Trump. Trump bashed Spain yesterday as well. He's very upset with Spain. He said Spain is a terrible partner, terrible NATO member. He also said that Spain is causing all kinds of problems for CEO Rutte. I don't think Rutte pushed back, to be quite honest, on what Trump was saying about Spain. At least I don't remember Rutte pushing back on Trump's comments about Spain. So we had the family photo from the NATO summit. Magyar from Hungary tried to kiss up to Trump, tried to shake his hand, and I think Trump completely ignored Magyar because Trump was good friends with Orban. And I think Trump completely snubbed Magyar. But everyone was talking about the Albanian leader, Edi Rama, and his white sneakers. Yes, he went to the Ankara summit, took the family photo with white tennis shoes, white trainers. And everyone was trying to get Trump to notice, like, Edi Rama's cool look. And Trump didn't care. He didn't care at all. I heard Hegseth was supposed to travel to, I believe, to Israel, actually. And that trip got canceled. And now Hegseth is heading back to Washington. He was on his way to Israel. And now he's heading back to Washington because everything is starting up again. So that's everything. I don't have any other clown worlds. Today's clown worlds were kind of weak sauce, but you know, it happens. That's the video, everybody. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on X and Rumble and Telegram. Go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch, like what I'm wearing today in this video update. Thank you to everyone that is smashing the like button. Thank you to everyone that is subscribed to this channel. Please check your subscription if you are subscribed to this channel, because YouTube is removing subscribers. I don't know why they're doing such a thing, but they are. And to all of those who are obliterating the hype button, thank you for obliterating that hype button. Feels good to destroy the hype. I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.